we go through so much in life, and so much of the time, the world has no idea what we go through. And the Lord most certainly does. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. But aside from that, He has given us each other. I take it for granted. And I know a lot of us do. I'm thankful the Lord, you know, led us to Virginia when He did, and we got to meet Brother Nathan and Sister Carly and their family, and spend some time out there working and laboring in the Lord. And you know, all the relationships that you gather is good, and it's beneficial for us. And there is no doubt that the Lord puts people in our lives for very important reasons. It's just whether or not we are open to what the Lord would have for us in those relationships. Because I know sometimes we closed off and just stick, you know, kind of close. But I'll tell you, there's many blessings to be had if you look for God's people and how they could be a part of your life. And I love it. You know, these brethren here, not to toot their horn, but I love these two brethren that came. And you know, they've been to 50-some revivals this summer. That's an encouragement to me. I've seen them everywhere I've been, different revivals. It's an encouragement to me. And I don't really know them all that well, but boy, it encourages me. I love it. And they have no idea that it encourages me. They're not doing it for me. I pray they're doing. They're showing up and trying to be an encouragement to others, but doing it to honor and glorify the Lord, as Brother Nathan said. And that is the right perspective and where our hearts should be. I love that. Thankful again just to be here, and thankful to the church for having the opportunity to come and try to labor here the best we can. And my best is no good if it isn't. If I don't have the Lord's help. And I'm thankful that He helps those who He has called and who He has placed in certain places. And I'm thankful to be able to work with Brother Barry and Brother Nathan. I love these two brothers and appreciate for all they stand for. As Brother Nathan said, I membership at Buffalo Springs, but I recently just took the pastorate at Sulphur Fork, Missionary Baptist Church. So remember them, if you will, in prayer. and me as well, as we try to fulfill that which the Lord has called us to there at Sulphur Fork. Well, I said a lot of things already, but there was a lot of things that I told the Lord that I wanted to preach tonight, and I know that you preachers know what I'm talking about. Sometimes there's things like, man, I want to preach this to, you know, to get things started or not, and that's just. I had to put that behind me and just try to focus on what the Lord had me to. And I know it all worked out. Because as Brother Nathan said, you know what you need. The Lord knows what you need tonight. I don't. And I just got to try to lean on the Lord and give what He has placed upon us. We were in Missouri, in Bolivar, for their youth weekend a couple weeks ago. I think. I've lost track of all my time. And I got the privilege to preach the first night on that Friday and preach what the Lord had on my heart. And I got done, and the two other preachers that were called to help that weekend, Brother Aaron Bennett and Brother Jason Stotler, they came after me after I finished, and we closed the service, and they both came up to me and said, "Brother Ferris, you just preached like the whole Bible. What are we going to preach the next 2 days?" I said, "I'm sorry. I've got to preach what the Lord given me." I said, "I'm sure there's something in there you can preach." But, you know, that's just how it is. You know, we got to preach what the Lord has given us, and just let it lay where it falls. So, tonight, I'm thankful for the songs that were sung. My thought tonight is really kind of around the assurance of that sweet salvation that God gives, and how thankful we are to be for it. You know, there's a lot of confusion out in the world about what salvation is. I mean, I know that when you read history, that some of the things that Satan has got hold of and in the middle of is really kind of about baptism. I mean, really, if you read history and you see about the conflicts, you see a lot of it focused on baptism. But I'll tell you, the deeper part of what Satan has gotten in the midst of is that of salvation. He has caused all kinds of, that is the most important topic. We as old-time Baptists know that is the most important thing. Amen. Is the salvation of souls. Amen. The baptism comes after you get saved. It can't come before. It is a command after you get saved and know Jesus. And this topic, this subject is of high importance to you and I and to this entire world. Amen. Yep. And Satan has done a good job of messing it up. Mm-hmm. Has caused all kinds of divisions and easy ways to do it and works and all of these things. But Jesus has been, and the scriptures are very clear about salvation. And I want to tell you today, maybe I know there's those here that have not been saved. And I want to bring these things for our attention tonight. And if you haven't been saved, I want you to listen to what God has to say to you tonight.
Amen.
There could be many distractions that take your focus off of what's being said. I remember when I was lost, I would try to do everything that I could for my mind to just drift elsewhere. We were meeting in a senior citizens building, and there was windows. I remember we'd be facing this direction. There'd be windows off to the side. And I remember always just trying to look out the windows, watching the cars drive by, trying to kill the time till service was over. I mean, there was things that I remember trying to do when I was lost and I wasn't saved to try to mask that horrible feeling I had inside. But tonight, I pray that the Lord would get a hold of you tonight, that you wouldn't try to be distracted, that you focus on the most important thing that we're trying to tell you tonight, which is the condition of your soul. Amen. And that you need salvation. What is salvation? Well, we use a lot of lingo in our around salvation, but I wanted to look up what old Noah Webster has to say about salvation. He was all the things I could read. He was a wonderful saved man, very smart man. He says this: salvation is an act of saving, preservation from destruction, danger, or great calamity. Theologically speaking, salvation is simply the redemption of man from the bondage of sin and eternal death. We understand from Scripture that sin that is within us separates us from God.
Amen.
And we know that that leads to death. And death, by its definition, really is just separation, isn't it? I mean, we think of death, I have dealt with death so much in the hospital and seen it so much that, hospital workers, we get very numb to it. Because we see it a lot. But death, and simply put, it is a separation. We know that is a separation from you and me even. When we have a loved one that dies, we're separated. But eternal death is what we're speaking of here when it comes to sin that separates us from the Lord. We know that the book of Romans in the third chapter, in the 23rd verse says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." So listen, tonight that means you. For all have sinned, not just a few, but all. All means all. There is no other way to slice that. And we don't try to soften that blow either, especially when it comes to our children. We don't need to try to say, well, they're there. We need to tell them the truth that when God deals with them, when He lets you know that you're separated from God, that is the Lord letting you know that. It goes beyond what your mom or dad may say. I know it's hard to be preacher kids. I wasn't a PK, but my uncle was my pastor a lot of my young life. And I know it was more than what my uncle was saying. It was what everyone else around me was saying about salvation. It was lifting up Jesus, that when you're lost, that you need to run to Him to save your soul. And He's the only one that can do it. So this separation is something that has come upon all men, all women, all boys and girls at some point in your life. And it is uncomfortable. Why is it uncomfortable? Why is it when when the Lord lets you know that you're separated from Him, why is it uncomfortable? Well, when you offend the Almighty God who has created all things, it's going to hurt. It's something not pleasant, and I'm thankful the Lord works it that way. I am so grateful that even though I wasn't grateful, I wasn't thankful for that, what I felt down when I was lost. I wasn't so happy that I was lost and separated from God at the time, but boy, after He saved me, and when I look back, I thank God that He did it that way.
Right.
I thank God that it wasn't just my parents telling me that you need this and you need that, but that God Almighty was telling me that.
Right.
He has left His Word for us to be able to hear that truth, that He sent His Son to die for us. We have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And that took place a long time ago, back in that Garden of Eden. And we are all sons and daughters of Adam. We come from His seed. How do you obtain salvation? And how do you know that you have it? That was always a question in my mind when I was lost. How do I know? They keep saying, well, you'll know. But how do you know? That puzzled me oftentimes as a youngster. Thinking, I know, I hear about this salvation. And that's one of the things that Satan has got in the middle of. He has torn that question and given false answers to that very question. How do you know? And we understand, and to me it's going to be very clear, and I hope it's clear for you today, the lost sinner, how do you know when you get saved? How do you know? And we want to try to address that tonight. How do you obtain it? And how do you know? Ephesians 2:8 tells us that for by grace are ye saved through faith. Right? And that not of yourselves. So through faith. Jesus, oftentimes, when He was going about His earthly ministry, He preached, repent ye, unless ye perish, or you will perish. Jesus preached repentance. John the Baptist preached repentance. The apostles preached, repent, lest ye die.
Amen.
And that is the same message that we preach today.
Amen.
We haven't varied from it.
Amen.
Well, we shouldn't. Repent and have faith. Inseparable graces, I believe. Turning away from your wicked ways and your sin and turning towards Jesus.
Right.
That is what we instruct you for tonight. That's what we preach tonight. That's what our preachers preach. That's what Scripture tells us, that in order to be saved, you have to repent of your sins because you have offended God, and put your faith and trust and give complete surrender unto Jesus Christ, who paid the ultimate price for you. See, that is the only way. There is no other way. There is no other way to salvation. I don't wish, but many people wish there was other ways. I have been told by those who are of other faith that say, listen, God will save any way He wants to. You know, there's many different ways, and that is just not true. That is a lie that comes straight from Satan.
Amen.
There is only one way, through repentance and faith, complete surrender of yourself to Jesus Christ. Turn with me to the third chapter of John. One of the most probably familiar verses and set of verses in Scripture as we read in the first verse. There was a man of the Pharisees. Listen, you might have heard these verses of Scripture many times. But I'll tell you, I have too. And I love them.
Amen. Amen.
It never gets old to me to hear these same Scriptures being preached and taught and expounded upon and lifted up, sang about, prayed upon. And lost sinner, you might have heard these verses too about Nicodemus and say, well, here he goes again. Listen, tonight could be different. Listen, if you when I went to service that night, I had prayed many times at the altar. But there was that Thursday night when I went and prayed just like I did every time before. But that night was different. I want you to understand that. I don't remember what was preached. I don't remember really even the songs that were sung. I don't really remember who was there. But I remember what happened to me that night. But when I came to service that night, I wasn't expecting to get saved. And if you being here, listen, you might have sought the Lord before, and you might think that it's just going to be just like every other service. Listen, I pray tonight that it would be different for you.
Amen.
I pray tonight that you might have not come in this service tonight expecting to be saved, but the Lord can change that for you tonight.
Right.
If He's dealing in your heart, even right now, listen, this is open, this altar area is open. You could pray at your seat. You could pray in any of these places. You could go to a Sunday school room. We want to encourage you tonight. If you feel that drawing power of the Lord, I want you to seek the Lord tonight.
Amen.
We all want you to seek the Lord tonight for salvation. That is the most important thing for you in your life. But you might have come tonight not having that expectation. And I'll tell you tonight, that's okay. But what are you going to do with it now?
Right.
What are you going to do with Jesus tonight? I went and prayed that night, like just like every other night. But as I was praying, and I was trying to pour my heart out again, like I did many times before, something happened that night that changed me forever. And I'll tell you tonight, it could change your life forever. But if you come here tonight doubting, if you come saying, you know, we're just going to get through this service so I can go home, you're not going to get it. You're not going to get what we've been preaching about, what I know Brother Nathan preaches about, and what you have probably most certainly have heard in your past, if you have unbelief in your heart. Do you want Jesus tonight? Listen, in the third chapter of John, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Jesus here, in his conversation with Nicodemus, they cover two events in life. That first one being of the flesh, of being born into this world. You know, I have no idea what took place the day I was born. I think I was born in the evening. I think that's what my mama says. I have no idea what took place. I have no recollection of it. But what I do know is that it happened because I'm here today. I've heard people tell me about my birth and the day I was born. But I remember nothing about it. But Jesus also mentions about another event that should happen and take place in your life. And that is a spiritual birth.
Amen.
And listen, I want to tell you today, you don't remember your natural birth. But we want you to know about a spiritual birth. That is about salvation, what we're telling you about tonight. That there's this confusion that the world has mixed that all up. Listen, when the Lord saves you, He puts His Spirit within you. You have to be born from above. That's what being born again means. It is supernatural. It is something that comes from God Himself. Actually, it is God that takes residence within you. And it is a beautiful thing. It is a needed thing. That is the only thing that is needed for you to flee, to overcome the wrath that is to come in your life. That spiritual birth, experiential knowledge of salvation. I read that in our history, how they described it that way. It's an experience with God. I asked the question about how do you know when you get saved? Are you asking that in your heart tonight? How do I know? You'll have an experience from above. And I promise you, I will tell you that it's one that you will not forget. And it's one that you will know about.
Amen.
It's something that you can tell people about.
Amen.
I can tell you when I was born naturally, but I know nothing about it. But most importantly, I can tell you about a day when the Lord saved me from my sin. I can tell you, thankfully, we don't always know the day that we got saved because I didn't know for the longest time the date that I got saved till later on in my life. When my pastor showed me notes that he took about the revival and showed me the day when I got saved. But it didn't matter. I knew what happened to me when the Lord changed my life that night.
Right.
Because where there was, in my heart, where there was agony and a fear of death and dying, the Lord took that and removed it away and put a peace there. I remember calling out to God. And I remember just so afraid to die. Pouring my heart out. And all of a sudden, it was just peace. I couldn't pray for that salvation anymore. That pain and fear of death was gone. And all that was left there was peace. Was that it? It sure was. I tried to pray for salvation more and I couldn't do it. He took it away. such as everyone that is born of the Spirit. It is a supernatural work that Jesus was trying to explain to Nicodemus, that we're trying to explain to you tonight. It is a marked event. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Do you believe that tonight? I do. I can do more than believe it. I know it. You see, the greatness of this salvation that Brother Nathan spoke about, that light that he gives us, you think about how marvelous it is. I mean, the Lord Almighty, who has created everything we see, He has created you. I mean, I'm nothing to look at, but it's amazing that He created this. He is amazing that He created our bodies to function as it does. The God that created you, when He saves your soul, He puts His Spirit within you to know that you are His. How glorious is that? That we get to have fellowship with Him. That we get to, as the song say, pray and be with the Lord. Listen, I mean, I think if we as God's people, if we truly got on our knees and really said, Lord, open up my spiritual eyes even more so that I could truly understand the gravity, the greatness of your salvation within me, I think we would have a great revival in this country.
Amen.
If we truly understood the wonderfulness of God Himself, that He chose to make salvation work this way. Simple. It really is. Hereby, 1 John 4:13, hereby we know that we dwell in Him and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. That's how you know. That is how you know when you get salvation. Is that sweet Spirit comes about you and you become born again, born from above, and you know that you're one of His. So here is what it really comes down to. And like I said, the world has confused and made this so complicated. And even lost people, you make this so complicated. And it truly isn't. How does one know when you get saved? We already mentioned it tonight. The Holy Spirit comes to take residence. But I want to ask you tonight, is the Holy Spirit God? Absolutely. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. All together as one. And you think about God, the Holy Spirit. When you get saved, don't you think that when His Spirit takes residence and you become born again of God, that you would know it? Don't you believe tonight? I want to tell you, you better believe it. When God saves you, you're going to know it. And if there's any confusion about it, that doesn't come from God, I promise you. You think about that. And it's very that simple. When God saves you, It's him taking residence in this flesh. In the inner man. So when people come and say, well, I think God can save any way he wants to, and this way and that way, listen, it's very simple. You got to go to Jesus. You got to repent of your sins. Put your faith and trust in him. And we have met his requirements in that. When you have surrendered your all, he takes out that old stony heart and he puts in a heart of flesh. And that's his spirit. In the book of Romans, I believe in the 8th chapter, it tells us that that same spirit that lifted up Jesus out of the tomb is that same spirit that resides in you.
Right.
I mean, think about the power of that. That God loved you so much. Not only did he send his only begotten Son to die on the cross and take your sins upon him, who knew no sin, who gave his life freely and willingly on that cross, but how he lets us know that we're one of his, that he sends the Spirit. You know, it's his Spirit too that lets you know that you're separated from him. And it's that same Spirit that lets you know that you're saved and born from above. And there is should be no confusion about that. When you're lost, you don't have God. But when you're saved, you have him and you know it.
Amen.
And if there's any confusion about it, listen, go to him. If you're confused about your salvation, I don't know your heart here, go to Jesus today. He will clear it straight up for you if you desire it. The same wonderful God. I'll tell you, those that were blind in Scripture knew who it was that healed them. They knew. The deaf, they all knew who it was that healed them. And guess what? When you get healed of your sin sickness, you'll know.
Right.
But you know, he's not going to save you if you just sit there. He will not save you, and he's not going to make you about and seek him for your salvation. He has done enough by giving his Spirit to draw you to him. But you know, we can push away that draw.
That's right.
We can resist to be saved. I know. If you know that you're separated from God tonight, I want you to know something. That if you fail to seek God tonight because you don't feel like it, it's not God's fault. If you refuse and reject Jesus by not seeking him, it's not his fault. If you die in your sin and you get cast into the lake of fire where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth, it's not God's fault. And you may not feel like praying tonight. The night I got saved, I wasn't being drawn to go pray. I knew I was lost. And when you know you're lost, you're eternally lost.
That's right.
Until you seek him for salvation and you get saved. Your lost condition is not dependent on if you feel it or not.
Right.
Your lost condition is your lost condition when he, the Lord, by his Spirit, lets you know and he has convicted your heart one time.
Right.
If you've been convicted, that gavel, that judge, he's laid down that hammer and it gave you the sins of death.
Yep.
And you know it. Now it's in your court. Now the Lord, by his Spirit, can draw you. And when I sought the Lord, I promise you, if you seek Jesus, he will come and meet you. Blind Bartimaeus, he was sitting there on that road. He knew he was blind. Nobody had to tell him. He knew it. And here comes Jesus passing by. And what did he do? Did he just sit there and say, well, I know I'm blind. Maybe Jesus would come by and touch me. He didn't.
He knew his lost condition while his blindness was still present. And he called out to Jesus, "Oh, Son of David, have mercy on me." Do you have that desire in your heart tonight? Do you know that Jesus is ready and willing to hear your plea? He is ready. It's like he's passing by. He is everywhere. He is all-knowing. And he knows the condition of your heart tonight.
That's right.
If Bartimaeus didn't call out to the Lord, he wouldn't have gotten healed of his blindness. But he called upon Jesus. And you know what? There was his followers. Jesus' followers was telling that man to be quiet. I promise you tonight, we're not going to tell you to be quiet. If you call upon Jesus tonight, we're going to be right there with you, praying and begging Jesus to save your soul, to just be give a heaviness to your heart. We won't discourage you. But they were discouraging Bartimaeus. But what did he do? He wanted Jesus to heal him so bad. And he cried the louder, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus heard him. And he'll hear you tonight. But if you don't call upon him, he's not going to have anything to do with you. He has already cast a judgment upon you from your lost condition. You have realized and he has let you know, and you could run from it. You could hide and you could say that you're not. You could do many things for you and I. You could hide it from your mother, your father, your grandparents, whatever it may be. But you can't run and hide it from Jesus.
Amen.
And Jesus stopped what he was doing.
And he said, he called for Bartimaeus. And they said, "Come, he called for you." Oh, how wonderful. He's right there. And he wants you to come to him.
If you're in that lost condition, if you know you're blind in your heart, he wants you to come to him. Salvation doesn't come any other way, folks. It doesn't come any other way. It may seem hard to you tonight. It may seem difficult. It may seem, you know, I have no hope because I have sought the Lord before and it doesn't work.
Listen, don't have that attitude in your heart. That comes from the adversary. We're telling you tonight that we want you, that there is still hope for you if you repent of your sins and you truly believe in your heart that he'll save you tonight. He wants to save you. He gave his very best for you.
Amen.
And he'll let you know in your heart that you're one of his if you come to him. It doesn't come any other way. It doesn't come gradually. It doesn't come with baptism. It doesn't come with any other way that the world has trying to spew out. It doesn't come with accepting him. That's the salesman pitch.
That's not the gospel. What you're hearing tonight is true. And you don't have to believe me. The Lord's much better than any of us being able to lead you to him.
We're going to point you to Jesus, though. He's the only one that could resolve your sin sickness tonight. There is no work that you can do. There isn't anything that you could physically do to earn salvation tonight. You can't be a good enough child. You can't be a good enough person to be good enough for salvation. That's why you have to be broken. Brother Nathan mentioned that already in the preliminaries. You got to be broken. You know that you're broken. That's it. The Spirit of God lets you know that you're broken.
What are you going to do with it? I want to tell you, you got to go to him to get fixed.
Yep.
You know what I did when I was lost many times?
When it was about to come up with that song, at the end, I could tell when the preacher was wrapping up. I said, "Well, I just don't want to pray tonight. Time to go to the bathroom." I did it many times.
if I could just avoid that invitation song, then I'll be all right. You can't hide from the Lord.
That's right. You can run, can't
you? Absolutely. You can run, but you can't hide. Tonight, we want to invite you to seek the Lord.
Amen.
The Lord dealing with you tonight. He wants to put He wants to give you a new life tonight. He wants to give you His best within you. Can you imagine having the Spirit of God take residence within you? You can't imagine, but I'm telling you, it's good. And when it's good, I mean good. It's having the Lord with me in my life is the best thing that has ever been performed on me.
Amen.
I love my wife with all my heart. I can say fleshly, she's the best part of me. But I'll tell you, she's not better than the Lord. She's not. And it better be that way with her to me. God is awesome. He wants to be He wants to be your Heavenly Father. He wants to be the one that takes residence in your life. Will you seek Him tonight as we have a song and stand?